When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I do love October, but it is nonstop crazy when it comes to sports. With everything that's taking place, of course, we're focused firmly on the baseball postseason, which begins in mere hours. But in addition to that, we've got college football and NFL, month number two. We've also got NBA Media Days taking place. I'm not sure if you saw the videos or heard some of the interaction between LeBron and his son, who were posing for photos together at Lakers Media Day. I also saw Steph Curry posing with his gold medal, and the Mavericks talking about this new piece in Klay Thompson and how they believe that could put them over the hump when it comes to winning another title in their franchise history. And those are just some of the storylines. We don't have a lot of time to get to basketball in this edition of the show, wrapping up what was a monster Monday with the final two games of baseball's regular season. The wild card schedule is now set. Also a doubleheader in football, a ton of points between the Lions and Seahawks, and a wah, wah, wah when it came to the Titans and the Dolphins, though, of course, the Titans did end up with their first win. The passing away of Dikembe Mutombo at a very young age from brain cancer, and also the shocking news late on Monday afternoon that Pete Rose has passed away as well. And so many emotions, and I'd love to hear from you at A-Law Radio or also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It wasn't but just a few days ago that the emotions were about the end of the Oakland Coliseum, nearly six decades of baseball in that home, as the A's say goodbye to Oakland, have a sojourn in Sacramento, and then move on to Las Vegas. And for Mark Kotze and many of the former A's who were on hand, it was bittersweet with the crowd that was there, but the occasion.
You could feel the love for every one of us in this uniform representing this city of Oakland, you know. And they were grateful.
Jessica Kleinschmidt was also there. She is a longtime Oakland A's multimedia reporter, part of the pre and post game on the A's radio network, TV appearances, podcast. She's a lifelong relationship with the A's, but will now take a drastic turn. And she joins us from the Bay Area. Been bugging Jess to be on the show so she could talk about that final series. But first, Jess, I know a poignant day for Major League Baseball as we find out about the passing of Pete Rose. What's your reaction?
Naturally, we think of, unfortunately, the negative stuff that's surrounding the gambling. But for me, just watching him, the clips of him playing, he was just hardcore, and he loved playing. And I think that's what I think about him the most, is he never left a game with a clean jersey. And I think that that's what I like about him as far as the way that he played, which ultimately upset me when we're thinking about the fact that he did gamble in baseball, was it didn't really negate it, because people were still upset with everything, the negative aspects that he did bring to it, which is why, of course, he's never going to end up in the Hall of Fame. I don't know if things are going to change now that he has passed, but when it came to the way he played, nobody could really top that because of like how hard he played, how much he loved the game. And of course the hits were there as well. And he also, understanding so that he did gamble on baseball, he embraced it to a certain extent, because he would sell autographed baseballs for like $175 in Vegas, saying right on the baseball, saying, "I'm sorry, I gambled on baseball." So he embraced it to a certain extent. So he wasn't denying it. So there's almost a kind of a tongue in cheek type of a facetious thing there. But I love the way that he talked about the game too. Like obviously he was an analyst for Fox, and there's a love for it. And you could tell because of the way you watched him play, and he was hustling. That's why they called him Charlie Hustle. He would dive for these balls, and the way that he would play was something that you really wanted to be like. Watching Bryce Harper, I compared him to Pete Rose, just the way that he would attack the ball and dive for these things. And, you know, hitting the ball is one thing. I know we're so obsessed with these guys hitting the ball over the fence, and rightfully so, that's going to win a lot of games, but getting on base is obviously super imperative, and RBI is definitely a step that we don't love as much, but the way that he played was something that I think needs to be celebrated, and the way that he loved the game was something that we didn't talk about enough because of all the dark cloud that was over him, you know, when it came to him. I definitely think about how much he loved the game and how hard he played it.
And no longer seeing him as perfect or a hero or an idol, but as you point out, flawed, and taking the Pete Rose package as it was. Interesting stuff. Jessica Kleinschmidt is a longtime reporter for the Oakland A's, which will change soon, has done a ton of radio and TV appearances for them, and has been part of their crew for how many years, Jess?
Oh my goodness. I just finished my sixth season.
So now that the regular season is done, I can only imagine the wash of emotions that you have had to process with the rest of the fan base over the course of the last few weeks, knowing this day was coming where they would no longer be the Oakland A's. So with the season in the rearview mirror, what are your emotions?
I kind of described it as an emotional hangover the day after it happened, because it just felt like I went through a breakup, really. And that was the easiest way to describe it, because yes, I knew it was happening, like you said, but when I showed up to the Coliseum on that last day, it really felt like a funeral and had all the makings of it, because you see these people you haven't seen in years, these people that you love, and you're celebrating the departure of something. So it was definitely a funeral in that aspect. You look up and see Tyson Ross, and I love this person, but you know he's there because this team's about to go away. You look up and you see Dave Stewart there, you know he's there because the team's about to go away. And you look up and you see these people that you haven't seen in a while. Chad Pinder's there. Chris Davis is there, and they're there because this team is no longer going to be around. So that aspect was really hard. But instead of wearing black, I wore a lime green dress. So it was a lot of those aspects. But the thing that was the most difficult was, and you know, working in the media, we see people with microphones in front of their faces and the camera on them. We hear the people with something to say, with the script, but we don't think about the producers and the directors and the people who search my purse walking in, and the security people who are amazing. Sue, who takes care of me, makes sure I'm fed every day. Hugging her, it was a different kind of hug. Seeing Tiffany walking in and seeing Manny walking in, it was just like a different type. They just looked different. And they didn't look like how they usually do. And scanning my credential and knowing I'm probably never going to see some of these people again was very, very difficult. And honestly, just the way that everybody handled it. I want to just like once again talk about how the players handled it, because mind you, I know a lot of people understand that these baseball players aren't rooted in a certain city because you can't control who you get drafted by.
Right.
But the A's especially, there are 19 rookies on that squad. And that means a majority of them probably aren't going to be from Oakland. Only Seth Brown really was on that team who was drafted in 2015. That's unheard of for most teams, but especially the A's. They're definitely a team that likes to trade a lot of players. That goes without saying. So the fact that these young rookies wanted to go out and pay homage to the players and have walk-up songs dedicated to Oakland. Tyler Ferguson, his walkout from the bullpen was an homage to Grant Balfour, Metallica's One, and that was during the 2012 season when they got the AL West title. It really brought us back to that amazing season and, you know, sporting the green and gold colors and making sure they sported the Oakland uniform. Mason Miller, who has only been with the team for a few seasons, making sure that he's showing the front of his uniform with pride after he got the final out at the Oakland Coliseum ever. Mm-hmm. These guys didn't have to do that. I would have been totally understanding if they didn't, you know. Joey Estes, I interviewed him on the very last game, 22 years old, walking around in all white, told me, you know, Oakland is the place that made my dreams come true. I grew up coming here. Why would I not talk to the security guards and walk around embracing this place? So to know that these guys were so young, they embraced it.
Yeah.
And obviously Mark Kotze, who not only got his time, he's spent time as far as a manager and, of course, a coach, but he played center field for the Oakland A's. And he walked out to center field the night before with his wife, Jamie, and just stood in center field and spoke to everybody, you know, spoke to the fans and embraced it. So a lot of those things felt very real. And so it was just one of those aspects where baseball was secondary to everything that was going on. And, you know, me myself, when I was 11, when I went to my first A's game and driving home, I told my dad I was going to cover the A's one day. I wanted to be an A's reporter. So it hit me hard too. That final game, the win was beautiful, the way it all went down, the way that Kotz led the speech, the way that the A's, the players all did it, all the interviews and the speeches, and the way that everybody cried and hugged each other, and the way that the fans came out and sold out crowd. It was gorgeous. It was beautiful. And I don't think it could have went any better way.
I've heard from a bunch of fans, and it seems to be a mixed bag of reaction when I ask whether they will follow the team to first Sacramento and then Las Vegas. But having interacted with many of the fans and those enormous crowds the last couple days, what is your sense about the current fan base and how it will process the move of the A's over the next couple of years?
It's a great question. And I just want fans to know, like, I'm extremely understanding if they don't. I would love that. I don't foresee them going over to be a Giants fan. I don't think that that's wise, because A's fans are very loyal. They're very passionate. When it comes to the fandom that A's fans are, they're hardcore baseball people. They also embrace other teams because they'll go on the road and they'll watch baseball because they love the game of baseball, but they will not go to a Giants game and root for the Giants. If you know where I'm coming, they'll root for Bob Melvin. They'll root for Matt Chapman, but they'll root for Mark Canna. They will not root for the Giants is what I'm saying. And if we're being honest, everybody's a former ace. You will find somebody on a team that you can root for, but they will not root for a team. But I remember during the final podcast that I, for the season, with Ray Jensen, who's my boss, he's wonderful. The thing that was awesome is we were very understanding if the fans did not want to follow the A's to Sacramento. The shows are going to remain the same for the most part. The talent's going to stay the same. But I think it's one of those aspects where we're all very understanding of it all. And I think there's a beautiful aspect to it. It's going to be different. It's going to look different. We're going to adjust to it just as they are. I don't know, Amy, it's a great question. But I also know that whatever they decide, I'm going to support them 100%. I would love for them to join me on this ride. Actually, this is my first time publicly saying I was invited to Sacramento. I understand if they don't, but I love them, and I've appreciated everything that they've done. Before I even made my first paycheck covering the Oakland A's, I was an A's fan myself, and I still am. And it was because of them that they embraced me and my family. They're the reason why I love going and covering the game. The reason why the Coliseum is so good, and Brent Rooker said it, 2024 All-Star snub, Brent Rooker said it. The reason why the Coliseum is so good is because it's not frilly. There's no bells and whistles there. People that are there, they love the game of baseball and they go there to watch the game. So the one thing we all have in common is the game of baseball. So the reason why I love the fans so much is because of that rawness. There's nothing extra there. There's no, we're not going to go to a, do an A's game because there's something like a, like a ride. There's not going to be a ride there. It's not necessarily
there's no pool.
Tourist attraction. There's no pool. It's a concrete slab with the best game in the world playing on. The grounds are good. Some of the best, the best field crew ever. The grounds crew is amazing. It's top notch. But when it comes down to it, there's nothing extra. And the one thing we all have in common is that beautiful game. So that's what makes it different from any other team. It's unique and it's one of a kind. And I preach authenticity. So if it's one thing, I will say the one thing that will remain the same is how different this is going to look. Yeah. And we don't know what it's going to look like. But I just want all the fans to know that I love them and I will support them with whatever decision they decide to make moving forward.
She's got a lifelong relationship with the A's currently as their multimedia reporter and part of their pre and post game on the A's radio network. Oakland no longer a part of it. Sacramento soon to be. It's already up on the MLB website, Jess. The A's at Sutter Health Park. The park will host the A's for the 25 through 27 baseball seasons ahead of the team's move to Las Vegas in 2028. You've been to the park. What's it like?
It's a great question. Yes, I was on the call about 3 weeks ago. It was Aviators versus Rivercats. So it's AAA Giants versus AAA A's. And not a lot has been done because of the fact that games are still going on, and rightfully so. You can't do a lot of construction while the games are being played. It looks like there was the home clubhouse being worked on at the moment. It's a minor league ballpark, and there's some things that need to be made. A lot of construction needs to be done that I can confirm on. I believe we're looking at a turf field. I believe that the batter's eye needs to be fixed. I do love that park. I got my start in a AAA field with the Reno Aces, so I have seen a lot of Sutter Park. I was covering Tim Lincecum when he was trying to make his comeback, and so every game that he pitched or even was even there, it was a sellout. So I would just assume it's going to look like that for every single game. It's going to be different. It's going to be unique. So that's what I'm ultimately picturing. It's going to be interesting to not say Oakland for a little bit,
right.
But that's going to be an adjustment we're going to have to make. It's just going to be the Athletics for a while.
As the A's move forward and they start a new chapter, what are one or two memories that you'll always have of the Coliseum?
So that 11-year-old game, right when I sat down, Eric Chavez hit a home run and he was playing third base. I looked at the program and I noticed him and I shared a birthday and immediately he became my favorite player. And he was playing third base. And when I was playing Little League at the time and I was feeling self-conscious because I was playing first base like my entire quote Little League career, but I had to switch to third base that week. And luckily, knowing that Eric Chavez did that, I was like, cool, this is great. And it turns out I was actually able to tell Eric Chavez this story last year when the A's inducted him into the A's Hall of Fame. And then when I was very geeky and geeking out to this story about this actual game, it turns out Mark Cosse was playing center field in that exact game. And now he's my manager, which is great to like this full circle moment. And I think another really cool story was I was actually able to have Kim Ng on my show last year. And it was kind of one of those situations where I don't fangirl. I like to think I meet a lot of cool people and I keep it cool. I was not cool, Amy. I was very, I'm freaking out. I think I borderline made her feel uncomfortable. I'm not going to lie. I think she even said like, calm down. Like, I'm sorry. But the moment we pressed record, I was calm. I was professional. After she left, I definitely cried a little bit, but she was amazing. It was a phenomenal interview. Like I got some really cool, like compliments from people from the San Francisco Chronicle. They were very complimentary and stuff. So that was definitely a cool moment as well. But I will say like the Stephen Vogt home run during his very final at bat after his kids introduced him right before he retired was awesome. And of course the Coliseum finale was great. And then everything I've ever dealt with Bob Melvin was phenomenal because he's just a great human being. So I'm lucky enough where when people ask me that question, I have like a billion memories, but those are definitely the top ones. Well, yeah.
Thank you for sharing a few. And if you're looking for photos of that last game, really the last series at the Coliseum, Jess has got a ton of photos, amazing photos. It's easy to find. It's at Kleinschmidt JD. And I'll make sure I share that a couple of times as we put this on podcast too, Jess. Moving forward into the playoffs, you've covered baseball for a long time. What's a series that stands out to you?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm really excited to see how this Padres Braves situation ends up, because the way that the Padres have always played during the regular season, they've never been a team that you have to mess with. But when it comes to the postseason, they've always been kind of wonky. And I feel like I've always followed everything Bob Melvin does because he was my manager. And I don't know if it was necessarily a managerial situation that happened last year. We're not going to get involved in that. But I really want to see how they fare in the postseason. I think the one thing I'm most excited about is not just the Guardians in the postseason, because I love me some Stephen Vogt, but specifically Josh Naylor in the postseason. I feel like the way that he approaches the game is electric, and not just because when he was playing the A's, he hit himself in the head with a helmet on, he hit himself in the head with a bat after he hit a home run. I really want to see how Stephen Vogt approaches these playoffs with Naylor. And then, of course, this amazing squad that's been really, really impressive. So that's going to be really interesting. And I could talk about the Phillies and Dodgers. That's like boring. That's like those guys always do those things. But, so it's going to be really interesting to see how those guys do. And, of course, there's some wild card stuff that I'm excited about. The Royals definitely deserve it. I love me some Vinny Pasquantino and then Bobby Witt Jr. And then everything the Orioles do, they're fantastic as well. So there's a lot of fun stuff that's happening. Definitely the underdogs are always the teams that I'm going to be paying attention to.
Oh, yeah. Bring on the fresh blood for sure. Oh, yeah. I enjoy seeing new storylines and new guys. And as much as we hear and see him all the time, Otani's never been in the postseason either. So this will be really interesting.
I almost forget that. I know that because up until recently, obviously, the AL West, we were always playing AL West teams. But you would forget that. I forget that Mike Trout wasn't in the postseason, too, just the way that they were always approaching it. Yeah.
Yeah. Make sure you follow her at Kleinschmidt JD. And not only does she have amazing photos and videos from the last couple weeks of the A's, especially that last game with the sold out crowd. But she will have more to come moving forward because that relationship is not yet done. Gosh, I appreciate you sharing those emotions and those stories. And if it makes you feel any better, I geeked out over my first interview with Kurt Warner the way that you did with Kim. So it wasn't just you. I've done it
good.
Too.
I felt guilty of it too. I was like, Jess, you've been so professional. I met Joey Votto and I was completely professional too. But when it came to Kim, I was like, oh, there it is. She cracked. It happens. It happens. Yeah.
It does. Thank you so much, Jess. It's good to have you on the show.
Thank you so much.
The pictures, excuse me, are tremendous. Jess and a lot of the other people who work for the team or who covered the team were allowed to stick around at the Coliseum for long hours on Thursday. And her photos are taken well after the stadium has emptied out. And now we talked with a bunch of fans who were there either last Wednesday or Thursday and got their personal perspectives. But someone who fell in love with the team as an 11-year-old and now is on a journey that's poignant and bittersweet and emotional in many ways. Good to talk to Jess. She's terrific. She also has a podcast for Awful Announcing, and she's had me on her podcast before, so I appreciate
it. When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Her returning the favor at A-Law Radio, at Amy After Hours. That's where you can find us on Twix, our Facebook page named after the show. And you're going to need those tools because not only do you vote for Monday MVP and we'll reveal your choice before this show is done, but we've got your candidates for TD of the Week. This is one of my favorite things because we get to hear these top calls over again from some of the best in the business. Plus, they were critical moments week four. 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon.
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Touchdown.
Hey, the guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown.
Southern's helping into the end zone. Touchdown.
To cast your vote for the TD of the Week, give us a call at 855-212-4227. The San Francisco 49ers.
You type right, and they go Kittle, Jennings, Debo from inside to out left. Rock back and a throw for the end zone for Kittle. Lob ball. George went up and caught the ball. Touchdown! San Francisco!
Kittle in the corner, baby!
The Kansas City Chiefs.
In motion is Sky Moore. Moving short to the right is Mahomes. Gunning it long. Coming down the near side. The pass is caught. Touchdown! Kansas City! A long bomb! And the Chiefs finally get there! A 54-yard bomb to Xavier Worthy! Patrick Mahomes, a perfect throw, burning Christian Fulton.
The Houston Texans.
Second and goal. Diggs to the right side. British Brooks.
Ready.
Offset eye, CJ rolls out to the right, throws to the end zone, hits Dory, and the Texans score, they lead. CJ Stroud to Dory Ogunbowale, who's had a huge game, puts the Texans on top.
The Detroit Lions.
Jared leans in. There's the snap. Jared on the end around. Gives it to Amon-Ra. He's going to throw it to Jared. It's on the line to the end zone. Jared Goff. Oh, baby, on the receiving end of a pass from Amon-Ra St. Brown. Oh, Ben Johnson, I see you too. That is beautiful stuff. That is Monday Night Magic.
And those are your four candidates for Touchdown of the Week. Poll is live and available for you to cast your vote as we head into October 1st. Oh, my gosh. We've got 1 month of the NFL in the rearview mirror. And, boy, did we have some dramatic moments. Fireworks, as I like to call them. On the Niners Radio Network, Greg Papa with the call. George Kittle goes up in a phone booth almost. So straight up, like he's in a really tall phone booth or inside a column over the top of multiple defenders, but straight up in the air to snag that ball from Brock Purdy. Pretty impressive leaping ability by the George Kittle who will fight you for the touchdown. I love it when he's healthy because, man, he is willing to go. The Kansas City Chiefs getting their first 50-plus yard touchdown pass from Patrick Mahomes since December of 22, if you can believe it. We know he can throw the ball 70 yards in the air because you see those videos before games, but had not done it when it mattered. So he finds his speedster, Xavier Worthy, the rookie, hauling in the 54-yarder. Mitch Holtis with the call on the Chiefs radio network. And, man, touchdowns, they were rare in that game between the Chiefs and the Chargers. The Texans rally back against the Jacksonville Jaguars with a game-winning touchdown in the final 20 seconds. Dare Ogunbowale on the receiving end of C.J. Stroud's quick touchdown drive, able to engineer that when they got the ball back from the Jags. Mark Vandermeer with the call on Texans radio. And finally, our friend Dan Miller, who was our first NFL guest of the season. This was a play Jared Goff said they've been working on for years, but hadn't had the chance to try out in a game. Amon-Ra pitches. Well, Amon-Ra gets the pitch from Jared Goff. Goff takes on around to the left and is able to get into the end zone behind the defense where Amon-Ra floats the ball to him for a touchdown. So now in his career, he's had passing touchdowns, many of them, a receiving touchdown, as well as a rushing touchdown. That's unique for quarterbacks. You can vote at Amy After Hours or at A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, we'll get that spot up very quickly. TD of the week, baby, as we head into a Touchdown Tuesday. This portion of the show brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. So the dust is settling on week four in the NFL. We do have some injury updates that we can pass along. So Andy Reid was talking on Monday about Rashee Rice. Kevin Stefanski has got positive news about Nick Chubb. Could that turn the Browns season around? Josh Allen says his ankle is fine, though he's been banged up a little bit. Yeah, I want to make sure we update you. Monday is always scary for that reason because I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop when it comes to injuries. And I don't love passing them along. They certainly do affect everything we see on the field, though. As we were talking about the Miami Dolphins on Monday night, that game between the Titans and the Dolphins, it was rough. We did end up getting several touchdowns, but neither team got into the red zone until late in the third quarter of that game. And because Will Levis was hurt, we ended up seeing Mason Rudolph. Not a bad thing, but gosh, considering what we got with Joe Flacco on Sunday, the former Super Bowl winner and Ravens QB, longtime Ravens QB, and then Browns QB last year. He's now with the Colts, but the AFC North feeling those flashbacks. And then fans of the AFC North, specifically Pittsburgh, also getting Mason Rudolph moments on Monday night. Though he didn't try a lot of passes, didn't have over 100 yards passing. Between he and Will Levis combined, they were barely at 120 yards, I think, passing. And gosh, Tyler Huntley was the only quarterback for the Dolphins, but he didn't go over 100 yards either. They had to severely limit their playbook for Tyler Huntley, who only signed with the Dolphins going back to week three. And then for Mason Rudolph, what they really wanted to do was just have him not turn the ball over, guide the team, hand off as much as possible. This is paramount for the Titans to try to control the ball and just run out the clock without giving away any of their points, making stupid mistakes. And Will Levis is still the starter, according to Brian Callahan, but it's good to get that win. So, yeah, Mason Rudolph and Tyler Huntley, the quarterbacks there for that game on Monday night, week four. And we're already seeing a bunch of injuries claim stars and elite players in the league. That's what happens in the first month. Part of the story as it unfolds of the 2024 season is which teams are able to withstand injuries. But it is possible. It is possible for guys to step into those roles and different sports heroes, if you will, to emerge. I know there are a lot of people that wondered whether or not the Atlanta Braves, including me, I asked one of, I think it was a Braves insider, maybe it was a baseball insider, but I asked this question about the Braves going back, say, 6 weeks ago. How are they able to overcome these injuries, or how much staying power do they have considering all the injuries? And there they were on Monday using every last game.
Pitch on the way. Alonso chops one to short. Arcia's got it. Over to first. Braves win. It was do or die in game 162, and the Braves said, we're not dying today. And for the seventh year in a row, the Braves are going to the postseason. They've got a date tomorrow night in San Diego, California, in game one of the wild card series against the Padres.
That's the call on Braves radio. And Brian Snitker able to celebrate with his guys in the clubhouse. In fact, both the home and visitors clubhouses were prepared for champagne celebrations. And he got to address his team after a long road.
You're never, ever guaranteed this, and enjoy the hell out of it. I don't care how in the hell we get in. We're in now, fellas, because anything can happen as we see. Congratulations. Have a great time. Here we go. Let's go!
Okay, I'll just be honest. I love different sound effects because of all these years working in radio. My favorite thing is some of the different sounds that we hear in sports and how distinct they can be. For instance, the crack of a bat when you hit it on the sweet, you hit the ball in the sweet spot perfectly. How about the swish of a ball going through the net without touching the rim? Oh, gosh, the roar of a full field of cars in a NASCAR race that are together after, say, a restart. They come around. They're in a tight pack. And that roar is overpowering and unmistakable. I could go on and on. The thwack of a tennis ball and a tennis racket on an ace, or, gosh, the roar of a crowd. And I'm not sure they can be topped in postseason baseball or in college football, the size of the crowds and how amped up they are. There's a lot of sounds that I love. Well, did you hear the sound behind Brian Snitker?
Congratulations. Have a great time.
The clear sounds of corks being ejected from the champagne bottle.
We're in now, fellas. Anything can happen in the big scene. Congratulations. Have a great time. Here we go. Let's go!
They had to be ready when he said, here we go. So congratulations to the Braves as well as the Mets, who split that doubleheader on Monday. Unfortunately, the Diamondbacks end up on the outside. And I know that some of the Diamondbacks spoke. We don't have any of the audio. As you can imagine, it was really disappointing. They had had a recent game in which they coughed up, if I remember correctly, an 8-0 lead. And so had they finished with just one more win, this is why the games in April and May count as well. If the Mets hadn't started 0-5 and put themselves in such a huge hole, these games wouldn't have mattered on Monday, but they did. And so every single game, and I know managers and players who were just on the outside looking in, any sport really, they'll look back and think, oh, if only this, or this game. Certainly plenty of those opportunities over the course of a 162-game season. At A-Law Radio, vote for TD of the Week. Our Facebook page, too, I'll get it up there for you to poll. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update, and here's Pete McCarthy.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Well, Amy, the Lions' offense was explosive and creative. Jared Goff was a perfect 18 of 18 passing, the first in league history to not throw an incompletion on more than 10 attempts. Goff even caught a touchdown from Amon-Ra St. Brown. Lions beat the Seahawks 42-29. Both teams are now 3-1. Nothing explosive about the Titans and Dolphins game, except maybe Nick Folk's foot. Folk booting 5 field goals. Titans win in Miami 31-12. Titans quarterback Will Levis exited with a shoulder injury. Mason Rudolph took over for Tennessee, steering the Titans to a victory. Pete Rose, baseball's all-time hit king, has died at 83 years old. Nicknamed Charlie Hustle, Rose passed Ty Cobb's longstanding record for career hits. He was a 3-time World Series champion, the National League MVP in 1973. Rose, though, is not in baseball's Hall of Fame. He accepted a lifetime ban from baseball for allegations of gambling. Rose admitted decades later that he bet on games he managed and played in, though he said he never bet against his team. Basketball Hall of Famer Dikembe Mutombo has died of brain cancer at 58 years old. Mutombo finger-wagged his way through 18 NBA seasons. The 7'2" center was the Defensive Player of the Year 4 times. After his playing career, Mutombo became the NBA's first global ambassador. Chiefs receiver Rashee Rice needs more tests to determine the extent of his knee injury and recovery timeline. Rice was originally feared to have torn his ACL, which still may be the case. Baseball, both the Mets and Braves are through to the postseason after a dramatic doubleheader. The Mets took Game 1 on a 9th-inning 2-run homer from Francisco Lindor. Manager Carlos Mendoza buzzing postgame.
That was one of the craziest games I ever been a part of. And then just the meaning of it, you know, coming back in the 8th and then losing the lead and then coming back again in the 9th. It's unbelievable. Like, it's like you could write a book.
Courtesy of SNY, quick turnaround. The Mets will be in Milwaukee to start the wild card round on Tuesday. The Braves in San Diego. I'm Pete McCarthy.
Hey, like us on Facebook. Our handle is INF Sportsnet. That's INF Sportsnet for our Facebook page. This is the Infinity Sports Network.
Side throw. It's a high overthrown and intercepted. Second takeaway in as many drives for the Chargers and up the sideline. And it's now the ball's out. And I think the Chiefs have it back at the 19. An interception thrown by Mahomes. It was picked off by Christian Fulton. And now the Chiefs get it back. And Rashee Rice is down with an injury. He is down helmet first, arching his back.
I think more than anything, it's just trying to get everybody kind of settled back down, including myself. I think at the beginning of the game in general, we were trying to do too much. And that's why we had the fumble and then the interception. But the guys stepped up and filled as good as they can the role that he has in our offense, which is a big one. And so all we can do now is kind of go back to the basics and try to get guys and opportunities to succeed.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of one Patrick Mahomes, and before that, Mitch Holtis, who calls every touchdown for the Chiefs, but also those tough moments. And in that case, right after an interception, Mahomes trying to make a tackle, Rashee Rice punching the ball away from the Charger, Christian Fulton, who made the pick, and they collide. And as Patrick Mahomes is going down to the ground, almost like a bowling ball, he's kind of down there to collide at a lower level. It just bowls right into Rashee Rice, kind of head first. And as he's tumbling over, Rashee's foot and legs get caught underneath Patrick Mahomes. And at the very least, it looked like a hyperextended knee. But what we knew going back to Sunday is that the Chiefs were fearing a torn ACL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We don't know yet the definitive word about his injury, but Andy Reid was still answering questions on Monday.
We're still testing him on things here, but so I don't have a definite for you right now, but we will get it to you. And he's not going to be available, obviously, this week. So we're going to make sure we get all the tests that need to be done, and then we'll let you know on that.
Yeah, the extent of his knee injury is not yet certain. And I don't know if that's because they're looking for second opinions, because they can't see it on an MRI. Maybe the swelling is still extensive. But there were team doctors, there were other outside doctors that he talked to and that he was tested by. And now what they know is that more tests are required, so they know the extent of the injury. But yeah, they did have the initial fears that Rashid tore his right ACL. And as it is now, and I just saw this report, I don't know if this is true or if it came from the Chiefs, but they're actually not expecting to share anything publicly until next week at the earliest. So maybe it's a doctor's appointment that's been pushed back or, again, swelling. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We do have a touchdown from Patrick Mahomes through the air, 50-plus yards to Xavier Worthy, who now finds himself as the number one wide receiver for the Chiefs. Gosh, considering the mass defections they've had because of injuries, this will be a season in which the pressure on Patrick Mahomes is ratcheted up even more. And of course, he can handle it. We've seen that he can handle anything that's thrown at him, but it will require the creativity of Andy Reid and his offensive staff and trying to make sure that they have plays that incorporate other guys or that they get the guys up to speed in some of these different roles. And that's something I always remember about Bill Belichick when he was with New England for all of those 24 years and at some point will be with another team. But he was on the hunt. Maybe it sounds funny to say now since his last few drafts were not the best, but he was always on the hunt through the draft and through free agency for guys that could play multiple roles. Versatility was huge for him. If he had a great defensive player, he wanted to know that maybe he could put that defensive player in a different set, move him away from the position that he was comfortable with or the side of the field where he was generally used to, and see if he could put him in a different spot. And it's the same thing for offensive players. If they've got skills and they can be used in a variety of ways, well, you're pretty certain that Andy Reid can find ways to use them. Kyle Shanahan, same thing. To be able to now look at the group that they've got and figure out how to not only raise the level of their offensive play, because it's right now they're one of the top teams when it comes to turnovers, and they're one of the worst teams when it comes to third down and red zone. But they still have Patrick Mahomes, and they're 4-0, and that's something that isn't going to change. 4-0 is 4-0, regardless of if every single one of those wins came by one score or by a field goal. You still have those four wins already in your pocket. Now as you move forward, hoping to get Isaiah Pacheco back, hoping that you don't hear the worst about Rashee Rice, but you're going to have to figure out how to use Xavier Worthy, how to use some of the other guys that you've got that maybe were middling receivers or wouldn't have factored that much into your offense here or there. But this is what we've seen from the best quarterbacks of all time, is that they can raise the level of play of everyone around him. And that's been asked of Patrick Mahomes multiple times over the last couple years, right? Because the crew around him has changed multiple times. But if there's anyone he can do it, he can. Now for the Browns, at this point, they still have Deshaun Watson as their quarterback. He doesn't want to get hit. The offensive line is transitioning, if nothing else. I mean, they've had some troubles, of course, around Deshaun Watson. But could they get a boost in the form of Nick Chubb?
He's working very hard. Natural progression is for him to start practicing. He's ready to do that. And then we'll see how he goes from there. But really not focused much farther past Wednesday.
Okay, that's awesome. I'm really excited to see Nick Chubb back on the field. Just recalling the emotion of his extensive knee injuries last year. Remember, we had seen Aaron Rodgers go down four plays into the Jets season, or four plays into Monday Night Football week one. And then right on the heels of that, Nick Chubb goes down the next week. And I know that they're part of the game, but it just seemed like those two players significantly change the whole season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.